The first four parakim of the Masechta haven't really discussed the laws of Me'ilah itself. We've been talking about when exactly Me'ilah applies, combining different items for Me'ilah. But it's really from this parak that the Mishnayos start to talk about how the violation of Me'ilah actually takes place. And as a word of introduction, there are two very different ways to violate Me'ilah. The first type of Me'ilah, which is really what we've been talking as the classic example until now, is when one benefits from something which is designated to the Beis HaMikdash. The second type of Me'ilah is, instead of benefiting from the item, it's when one transfers the item from being in the domain and under the jurisdiction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he transfers it into the domain of a regular individual. For example, if, let's say, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash takes a item which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash, and he gives it over to a regular individual for him to take. That would be an example of the second type of Me'ilah, that the treasurer would have violated even without having actually benefited from that item, because he has removed it from being in the domain of Hekdash, of the Beis HaMikdash. A gzer shava is when there are two identical or similar words in two different places in the Torah, and we have a tradition in certain cases that we can learn laws from one of those places in the Torah and apply them to the area where the Torah mentions the same word, even though those two areas don't really have anything to do with each other on surface level. Now, one such example of a gzeirah shavah is that the Torah uses the same word, chet, when talking about me'ilah and when talking about truma. Truma is the gift which is given to kohanim, and it's forbidden for a non-kohen to eat truma. And as a result of that gzeirah shavah, many laws of me'ilah are learnt from truma. One example of those laws which are learnt from truma is that just like the eating of truma certainly involves deteriorating the value and causing a loss to that truma, of course by eating it you're destroying the truma, so too me'ilah is only violated if a loss is caused to that item. We're talking now specifically with regards to the regular me'ilah of benefiting from the item. The benefit alone from that item is not enough to make one liable to me'ilah unless he actually causes a loss to the item. However, it's not really true to compare it to truma, because truma, what's the prohibition of eating truma? Eating the food. So there, the food is something which, by the way to benefit from the food is by destroying it, by eating it. But with regards to me'ilah, there are many benefits that one can have from an item which don't involve causing a loss to the item. And therefore, the following compromise, as it were, is reached. An item which the use of that item generally causes the item to wear out and to have some level of loss. Such an item is considered to be similar to truma, similar to the food, and therefore one would only violate me'ilah once he causes a level of loss to the item. It's not enough just to benefit from it, but you have to benefit from the item in a similar way to eating of the truma, meaning you have to benefit from it in a way that causes a certain level of loss. However, items where the general use of that item does not cause any loss to it, in that case, you would violate me'ilah from the mere benefit of that item, even without causing a loss. So begins the Mishnah. Hanena shor prutum in a hekdosh, somebody who benefits from an item which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdosh, a benefit which is worth at least a shor pruta. A shor pruta is considered to be the smallest value considered at all significant, and that's the minimum value that one has to benefit from for it to be considered me'ilah. The way that will be calculated is how much would somebody be willing to pay to have that benefit that you derived from the hekdesh item. If somebody would pay at least the shor pruta, it's considered to be a benefit which is worth at least the shor pruta, and therefore he would be liable. Says the Mishnah, afal pi shelo pogam, even if he has not caused any loss to that item, mo'al, he would violate me'ilah divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And we'll explain Rabbi Akiva's opinion in a moment, but for now, v'chachom emim, the chachom say the rule that we just described, kol dovar sheyesh bo pagam, any item whose general use does cause its value to go down, it causes a certain loss, a certain deterioration in that item, lemala sheyifgaim, me'ilah would not be violated unless he actually causes a loss in the item. Whereas something whose general use does not cause any loss in that item, so then in that case, as soon as he benefits from it, he would violate me'ilah, despite not causing any loss to that item. So again, if it's an item which the use of its item does cause a loss, so without you causing a loss to that item, it's not considered to be a significant enough usage for it to be considered me'ila. But if it's something whose use doesn't anyway generally cause a loss, so even just from benefiting from it, that's considered to be a significant enough benefit and usage for you to violate me'ila. Now, it's important to note, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva agrees with this rule of the Chachamim. However, Rabbi Akiva argues in two very specific scenarios. One example which the Gemara gives is an item of clothing which somebody does not wear directly on his body, and he also does not wear it as an outer garment. And as such, it does not really wear out. Unless you use it many, many, many times, it doesn't really wear away. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva defines this as an item whose usage doesn't cause a loss to it. One single usage really doesn't. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it will be in the category of things that their usage doesn't cause a loss, and therefore you would violate Me'ila by benefiting from it even without causing any loss. The second example which the Gemara gives is a very expensive cloak of sorts, which the person who would own it would wear it very, very infrequently, very rarely, because it was so expensive, and therefore it's also something which it barely would wear out or have a loss, because it was used so rarely. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that's also considered to be in the category of things whose usage doesn't cause a loss, and therefore you would violate Me'ila as soon as you benefit from the item. But with regards to the vast majority of items, Rabbi Akiva agrees with this rule that the Chachamim have set in place. Ketzad, how so? What's an example of this rule? Nosna katla b'tzavara, if a woman places a golden necklace on her neck, and this golden necklace has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash, it's Hekdash, or Tabas B'yodah, she places a ring on her hand, on her finger, and that ring is Hekdash, Shasa B'chesh al-Zahav, if she drinks using a golden cup, which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash, all of these things are examples of items whose usage doesn't really cause a loss, they don't get worn out, and therefore Kivan Shenenes, as soon as she benefits something which is worth at least Shoa Pruta, somebody would be willing to pay a Shoa Pruta to have that benefit that she had, Ma'ala, she has violated Me'ila, despite not having caused any loss to that item. On the other hand, Lavash B'cholok, if somebody wears an item of clothing which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash, or Kisa B'talis, if he covers himself with a cloak which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash, or Bika B'kurdaim, if he chops using an axe of Hekdash, these are all classic examples of things whose usage does cause a certain deterioration in that item, and therefore, Ma'ala Chayifgaim, he would not violate Me'ila unless his usage does indeed cause a level of loss to that item. The second half of this mission adds a very important point when it comes to defining a loss. If you think about it, an animal which has been designated as a korban, as soon as it has been designated for that purpose, it can't be sold, and the only use which that animal has is being bought as a korban. If that animal goes down in its monetary value, would you consider that to be a loss to the animal? Even a loss in the value of the animal? The value right now is not determined in terms of its monetary value, because no one can buy it anyway. The sole purpose and usage of this animal is being bought as a korban. As long as it's still a valid korban, even if its monetary value does go down, that is not deemed a loss in terms of the korban. The single usage that it's meant for and designated for can still be fulfilled. And therefore, a korban is considered to be something that's usage does not cause a loss to it. Because even if by using it, its value does go down, that's not considered to be a loss. And because of that, if somebody benefits from a korban, he would be violating Me'ila even if he doesn't cause any monetary loss to that item. Because anyway, the monetary loss is not considered to be a loss, so it's considered to be in the category of things whose usage doesn't cause a loss. And therefore, just by using it and benefiting from it, one would violate Me'ila. Now, let's take it a step further. If that korban develops a wound, and therefore it becomes invalidated from being bought as a korban, and rather it needs to be redeemed, and the money will be used towards buying a new korban. Now that the animal is going to be redeemed, if the monetary value of that animal goes down, that's certainly considered to be a loss. The person who will redeem it and buy the animal will buy it for a lower price because its value has gone down. And therefore, once the korban has been invalidated and needs to be redeemed, the monetary value would be taken into account, and it's now considered to be something whose usage does cause a loss to it. And therefore the Mishnah says, Tolas ben achatos, if somebody plucks hair or wool or fur from an animal which has been designated as a korban chatos, k'shei chaya, whilst the animal is still alive, but it's been invalidated from being bought as a korban. So now it's ready to be redeemed. It's therefore considered to be something which does have a loss, and therefore lomar achayifgoim, somebody who benefits from it will not violate me'ilah unless he causes a monetary loss to it. That would be considered indeed a loss. Now what happens if the animal which was designated as a korban, k'sheimesa, the animal has died? Whether the animal was valid or it was invalidated, it had a wound, it doesn't make a difference. Once the animal dies, it cannot be redeemed, but one can also not benefit from it because it has the sanctity of a korban, and nothing can be done with it, it has to be buried, no one can benefit from it. In this case, once again, if its monetary value goes down, that's not considered to be a loss, because either way, nothing can be done with it and it can't be sold. And therefore, it fits into the category of things whose usage doesn't cause a loss to it, and therefore, kiven shenein emoal, as soon as somebody benefits from it, he would violate me'ilah, even if no loss is caused. Because indeed, no loss can be caused. Mishnah Beis, ne'elam chachatzi pruta, if somebody benefits from an item, and the benefit that he has is worth half a pruta, and whilst he was using that item, upogam chachatzi pruta, he also caused the value of that item to diminish, to go down by half a pruta. Although if you combine the two, it comes out as a whole pruta. Nevertheless, he didn't have a benefit which was a full pruta, and he also didn't cause a deterioration of a full pruta, so he would not be liable to me'ilah. Or if somebody has a benefit from a particular item of hekdesh, and that benefit is worth a shove pruta, upogam shove pruta b'davar acher, and he then took a different item of hekdesh, and caused it to deteriorate in its value by a shove pruta. But he didn't benefit from that item at all, and the first item, he didn't cause its value to go down at all. And we're talking about an item whose usage does cause a loss, and therefore me'ilah is not committed until you actually cause a loss. So in these cases, harizeh lo mo'al, he would not have violated me'ilah, he would not be liable to the punishments of me'ilah, ad she'yehoneh b'shove pruta v'yifkeh b'shove pruta b'davar echad, until he benefits a benefit which is worth shor pruta, and he causes the item to go down by the value of shor pruta on exactly the same item. Only then would he be liable to me'ilah. Mishnah Gimel, the Torah decrees that when somebody benefits from a item which is hekdesh, an item which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as he benefits from that item loses its sanctity, and it now becomes a regular item which is considered to be in the domain of the person who benefited from the item. He's obviously obligated to pay for the item and add on a fifth, but the item itself has now become as if it's his own item. As such, if somebody were to benefit from a particular item of hekdesh, he violated me'ilah, and 5 minutes later he comes again and benefits from that item, he would not be liable to me'ilah for that second time that he benefited from it, because he didn't benefit from something designated to the Beis HaMikdash, he benefited from his own item. That item no longer has sanctity. Now, it's very important to note that rule that we just stated is only true with regards to one type of hekdesh. We've mentioned many times already that there are two different categories of something designated to the Beis HaMikdash, something which is hekdesh. One is kedushas haguf, something which has intrinsic sanctity, and that refers to something where the item itself is going to be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, the most classic example being an animal which is going to be offered up as a korban. The second category of hekdesh is something which the item itself is not going to be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's generally going to be sold, and the money got from selling it is going to be used for the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. That is called Kedushas Domim, which means that the value of the item has sanctity, but the item itself is not considered to be intrinsically holy and sanctified. Now, the rule that we just stated, that when somebody violates Me'ilah, the item stops being holy and it loses its sanctity, that's only true with regards to the second category, the category of Hekdesh, which anyway doesn't have intrinsic holiness, only its value is holy. So as soon as somebody benefits from that item, the Torah decrees that it will lose its sanctity. However, an item which has intrinsic sanctity, just by using it, that doesn't take away this high level of holiness and sanctity. And therefore, in that case, the item would remain hekdesh, and if somebody benefits from it again, he would violate me'ilah again. Begins the Mishnah. Ein moel achar moel b'mukdashim. There is no such thing as violating me'ilah after one has already violated me'ilah from that same item of hekdash. Elo behema ochlei shareis. Except if the hekdash is an animal or a utensil used within the service of the Beis HaMikdash, because those things have kedushas haguf. They are intrinsically holy, they have real sanctity on the items themselves, and therefore, using them and violating me'ilah with them would not take away that sanctity. Ketzad, what's the explanation? Let's elaborate a bit more. Rochel agal behema. If somebody rode on a animal which was designated as a carbon, so he benefited from the carbon for his own benefit, and he thereby violated me'ilah. And after that, ubo chaveir v'rochav, his friend, somebody else came and rode on the same animal after him. Uvo chaveir v'rochav, and somebody else came and rode on the animal after him. Or a different example, if somebody drank using a golden cup, which is hekdash, and it's the cup is used as a utensil in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and then his friend, somebody else came and drank from that same item, and somebody else came a third time and drank from that same utensil. Third example, if somebody took out some of the hair or the fur from a animal designated as a korban chatos, the same would apply to any korban, and his friend then came and plucked out some more of the hair of the animal, and somebody else came and uprooted some more hair. In all of these cases, kula and mo'alu, they all have violated me'ilah, because after the first person violated me'ilah, the item did not stop being hekdash. And Rebbe says this same idea, just in a slightly different language, kol she'ein lo pidyon, anything which cannot be redeemed, and really that refers to something which has intrinsic holiness. The only type of hekdash which can be redeemed and sold is something whose value has holiness. But something which is intrinsically holy, like a carbon, cannot be redeemed. In that case, yesh b'moyel achar moyel, one violation of me'ilah would apply even after the first one. And the Gemara explains that there's slight differences between the Tanakhama, the first opinion, and the opinion of Rebbe. For example, a carbon which had intrinsic holiness, which then became invalidated. Such an item needs to be redeemed, even though it still does have a certain level of intrinsic holiness. So this would be a difference between Tanakhama and Rebbe. Mishnah Dalet. This Mishnah talks about the second type of me'ilah, which we introduced at the beginning of the perek, which is not benefiting from the item, but transferring the hekdash item into the domain of a regular individual. Not al even a kirash al hekdash, if somebody, we're going to understand simply that we're talking about the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. If the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash takes a stone or a beam which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and he intends to acquire it for himself and to bring it into his own domain. Because he's the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, and essentially he's acting on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash, his own domain is really considered just to be the domain of the Beis HaMikdash itself. He's an agent of the Beis HaMikdash, so if he brings something into his own domain, he's really doing that on behalf and as an extension of the Beis HaMikdash. So as long as he hasn't benefited from the item, he, in this case, it's not considered that he's removed the item from the domain of Hekdash, and therefore Harizele Mo'al, he would not have violated Me'ilah. However, Nasana Lachaveiroi, if he gives the item over to somebody else, who is not a treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, then he has succeeded in removing it from the domain of the Beis HaMikdash and putting it into a regular individual's domain, and therefore Hu Mo'al, he has violated Me'ilah. And even if the other person then benefits from it, the other person will not violate Me'ilah, because the item is no longer hekdash. As soon as the first person violated Me'ilah, the item lost its sanctity, and it's no longer hekdash, and therefore the other person would not violate Me'ilah if he benefits from it. On a similar note, if the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash uses that stone or beam in the building of his house, he doesn't literally cement it as part of the building, but he puts it somewhat temporarily in the building of his house. Harizele Mo'al, he has not violated Me'ilah because his own domain is an extension of the domain of the Beis HaMikdash, because he's just an agent of the Beis HaMikdash. Ad sheyador tahteh shav pruta, he would only violate Me'ilah once he lives underneath that beam and benefits from it, the benefit which is worth a shav pruta. Meaning, only once he benefits from that item, would he violate me'ilah, the type of me'ilah of benefiting? But in terms of the type of me'ilah of changing its domain, he's not able to do so because his own domain is an extension of the domain of Hekdesh. Not al prutashel Hekdesh. Likewise, if the treasurer takes a pruta coin, which is indeed obviously worth a shal of pruta, he takes that for himself. Once again, ha'izeh lo mo'al, he hasn't violated me'ilah because he hasn't taken it into his own domain, because it's still in the domain of Hekdesh. Nosala l'chaveiroi. But if he gives it to somebody else, then hu mo'al, he has violated me'ilah because he has succeeded in removing it from the domain of Hekdesh, and once he does so, the item loses its sanctity, and therefore, even if the other person will now benefit from that money, v'chaveir lo mo'al, it will not be considered me'ilah because it's no longer a Hekdesh item. Next example, nosala l'balon, if the treasurer gives the money to a owner of a bathhouse as payment for him to be able to go there. Aval bishalei rochatz, even if the person has not yet washed himself in the bathhouse, mo'al, he already violates me'ilah as soon as he gives that money to the owner of the bathhouse. Shehu oimer loy, because the person who's watching over the bathhouse says to this person, as soon as he's paid him, hari merchatz pasucha, the bathhouse is open, hekonis rochatz, come in and wash yourself. The point of the Mishnah is that the payment is considered to be a full payment that he can't retract himself from. As soon as he's paid, he's no longer able to say, actually, I want my money back, I don't want to do this. The agreement is over, and he now has the right to go in and wash himself. Only because it's considered to be a full payment from which he cannot retract is me'ilah violated. If it was something that he could take back, so it's not considered to be a full payment. He hasn't fully transferred the money to somebody else's domain. But in this case, he has, and therefore, me'ilah would be violated.